Well then, how are we doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Always good.
Well, it was a pretty good September, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. If you're looking at your portfolio, certainly.
Then it was pretty good, right? So, well, hey, you're jumping in.
Yeah.
Tell us about it for September.
You know, like we do every pod, we like to talk about the two main cornerstone indices that would kind of represent a construct of a portfolio, or how about a benchmark that we might be trying to hold ourselves to. And the first one that we like to talk about is the S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S. measured by market cap. Another wonderful month for the S&P 500, up 3.53% on the month. This is a fifth consecutive up month for the S&P 500. We'll get into kind of, you know, the trend that we're seeing play out here. But it's been good to be invested, and we've known that, right?
It's been good.
The other thing we like to look at, not everybody owns bonds, but, you know, typically when you retire, a dimension of diversification that we add is a little bit of fixed income exposure. So what is the bond proxy, if you will? The thing that we like to kind of say, this is the bond market. That's the aggregate bond index. Basket of bonds, that was up for the month as well, 1.09%. So bonds were not left behind. And there's a reason why.
Right.
And I think we can unpack a lot of that, you know, in the pod today.
So before we get to kind of getting into the unpacking, you know, one more kind of quick touch on the portfolios, right?
Yeah.
Any big changes there?
Not a whole lot. You know, the old saying, make hay when the sun shines. It's this idea that when the, you know, the hay is dry, it's the time to get it in a bundle. Think of your portfolio in a similar fashion. There's a time to really lean into risk and really make sure that you've got the things that would generate alpha, you know, the things that would do well in a risk-on environment, just making sure that those are at work in your portfolio. Few little notches we did, and you know, but for all intents and purposes, we've been on this trend.
So let's get back to the unpacking. So the last, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, there's been a lot of reasons to maybe not be invested or not bring that money into invest or not stay invested.
Right.
You know, where do we stand with some of that?
Well, you know, it's this idea, and this year has really put reason to the saying, Wall Street climbs a wall of worry.
Right.
It's a Buffett, Warren Buffett saying. And it's this idea that the market should, you know, tends to stand tall in the most challenging environments. And sure, the volatility that's associated with headlines and different current events, things like that, yeah, you'll get it. But it proves the point that you have to see through the headlines and focus on what's important. Tune out the noise, take in the signal. So this year, think about it. I mean, everything from tariffs, inflation, you know, soft housing data, soft jobs market data, geopolitical concerns, social unrest. Had you been managing your portfolio on these headlines, you'd be in a much different place and you know, the way it's played out, a worse off place from a performance standpoint versus paying attention to what really matters. And what really matters doesn't come with, and I'll just say it, a sexy headline. But remember what the media is out there to do, sell ads.
Right.
And so how do I get your attention? I bring up something that is emotionally provocative. And that doesn't come with the things that you get paid to look at in the market. So again, I hope that you've been able to see through this, recognize we're investors for long periods of time. Certainly we've been leaning into the elements that really matter in portfolios, but this just goes to show why there is the saying out there, Wall Street climbs a wall of worry. And then I've been doing this for a long time. I like to put my own touch on this saying, if there wasn't something to worry about, that would be the worry in and of itself.
Well, kind of touching on, you know, the reasons maybe not to invest, what are some of the positive takeaways? You talked about five straight months of, of positive performance. The market's shown just a ton of resilience, you know, since April, where we saw Liberation Day with tariffs and a lot of the geopolitical tensions. But, you know, what are some of the positive takeaways that we can share with our clients and our base here?
Yeah, so what I think that you want to unpack from that kind of vantage point is just the fact that five straight consecutive months of upside in the S&P 500, that, you know, is putting us in really some historical environments with respect to bull trending markets. Did you notice I said a word, trend? Mm-hmm. Markets trend. In fact, there are complete investment strategies that are all focused on trend following. So is it surprising that the market had five consecutive up months? Not really. Because when the momentum gets going, the trend gets set, and oftentimes the market likes to follow the trend. Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, we've got that at work for us. Did you know that this September was the second best September in the last 25 plus years? I think it was in the last 27 years. It was a statistic that I read. But think of that. I mean, right. What a robust movement as we closed out that third quarter in the face of all of the headline risk that we've had all year and the negative sentiment that's been out there. But we've been able to prove through and get through it all. And we've got a trending market to the upside. That's very good. And, you know, when you check it down and think about the things that really matter to the market, they're only getting stronger at this point. Now, anything can happen and there'll always be volatility, but you have all the makings that you need to have, you know, to be very positive about.
Right. Another asset class that we haven't really touched on, you know, yet today, right? We've got, you know, our equity, we've got fixed income, but there's this alternative basket, you know, precious metals, gold.
Right.
You know, what, obviously some very good strength there this year with performance. Yeah. You know, what's gold telling us?
Yeah. Well, I think that the last part of your question there, what's gold telling us? We could take that a few different directions, but let's just think about gold as an asset this year. Why do we own it in client portfolios? Yeah. The hard asset. Right. Why do we own it? Well, we own it because of dollar depreciation. You know, the more dollars that we print, the weaker the dollar gets. So, I mean, technically, it's not that the gold gets any more valuable. It's the dollar gets less valuable. So it's a good hedge against inflation. So are stocks, by the way, you know, and we've talked about this. You own a share of a company, the next day you wake up, the share is worth more. Well, is it that the company's really worth more, or is the dollar worth less and it takes more dollars to buy that share of the company? So gold, it's that same impulse, that inflation impulse. Now, when you think about gold and the other thing that it can be is insurance against everything else failing. Mm-hmm. So with the 50%+ move in gold this year, as of, you know, end of September, is there something that we should be paying attention to besides the inflation hedge impulse? Is there something there that people are scrambling for insurance? Not that we have to act on that right now, but you better believe that is on our list of things that could support that it's not all good out there.
Right.
And you have to be rational. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to go with the flow as you take in data points. So it's good. We'll take the win. Got it in client portfolios. That's wonderful. But we also have to recognize that there's an element of gold that makes investors, you know, it's where they go when things get nervous, when mm-hmm. investors get nervous. So, you know, keep an eye on that. But in the meantime, we'll continue to enjoy the movement up.
Always stay nimble, right?
Yeah. That's right. Talking you know, about like some data points, right? Had a Fed decision here in September. You know, are we seeing a paradigm shift here in policy, or what do we take away from the meeting?
If anybody wants to go review our last podcast, we said, you know, I think Derek, you put me on the spot.
I tried to.
What's the Fed gonna do? We got it 100% right, yeah. So that's good. Yeah, we saw a 25 basis point, interest rate lowering in the month of September. So that's good. It wasn't a big one. You know, typically the Fed moves in quarter point movements, up or down. That's kind of standard, for the Fed. Anything that would be more, larger is kind of out of the ordinary. Now, perhaps the Fed is a little bit behind on their cutting cycle. And so the thought was perhaps there's a chance they might do a bigger cut, an outsized cut in September, but they didn't. And the reason why I would have assumed that they didn't is because you still see dissent amongst the Fed governors. So not everybody is so convinced that we need to be cutting rates right now. Right. I think that the inflation fight is not over, and you know, higher interest rates are one of the ways that we are able to fight inflation. The problem that we have right now is a lack of clarity in the jobs market. And so I think that with that lack of clarity, with some economic data points turning down a little bit, getting less hot, you might see the Fed be willing to move on, you know, lowering interest rates, But I don't think it's going to be anything that's expedited. I think it's going to probably be this drumbeat of quarter point movements lower. Mm-hmm. You know, Jay Powell is going to be out early next year. So with a new, you know, Fed governor, that might mean that we would see maybe that's the point at which it accelerates. But I think we got to be careful here, because remember, when rates come down, it allows that inflation fire to begin to, you know, kind of come back into focus, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Chairman Powell wants to go slow. We'll see what where we go. But I do believe that we're starting on a cutting cycle.
Yeah.
Well, let's stick with government then, right? So, you know, we talked a little bit about Fed policy. Yeah. Another one of those scary headlines, right, is government shutdowns. Yeah. And that started to rear its head towards the end of the month.
Yep.
Than it did.
Yeah.
So definitely. What usually happens in that?
Yeah. So getting a lot of questions about that. And remember, markets are very forward looking. So the minute that there's a chance for a government shutdown, the market's going to wiggle around and build that into the price movement. So the fact that the government does shut down, oftentimes that headline isn't so surprising and jarring that you see a tremendous amount of volatility. You've been catching the volatility building up to that moment. And so in that space, you know, recognize the market is kind of prepared for it. If you look at the last five government shutdowns, actually the market has returned positive, you know, through that period of time. Over the last, say, 30 years, government shutdowns have been handled pretty well by the market. The longer they go, the bigger the economic impact. So, you know, you want these things tightened up. And hopefully in our next month's podcast, we could talk about when the government shut down and when it reopened. Right? That would be ideal. So just recognize that we tend to handle this pretty well. You know, quicker we can get the government back open, the better. But right now is not cause for concern.
No. Well, and that's good to know, because that's just kind of one of those additional headlines, right?
That's right.
And as you just mentioned, you know, we'll make sure we stick it on there next month.
But yeah, we'll touch it.
You know, looking ahead to next month, you know, do we see any, not roadblocks or speed bumps or any of those things, but, you know, what do we see out there?
So, you know, market's trending. And we've had, you know, a very, very positive stretch of months here. That opens the market up to volatility, because, you know, the old saying, the market takes the stairs up and the elevator down. I mean, that just speaks to when the market needs to get a volatility move out of the way to the downside. It usually happens pretty quick and aggressively. So, you know, just be prepared that the more that we move higher, the market needs to go test and make sure that people that were buying meant that they were going to buy and hold it. You know, they want strong hands, not weak hands. So how does the market test that? With volatility. And so expect that there's going to be volatility. And we're in that time of year where you tend to find volatility. You know, down in Florida, you worry about hurricane season. You know, we get to the fall months, you tend to find volatility in the markets.
Yeah.
So understand that that very well may play out, but realize the consumer is strong. You know, corporate earnings have actually been really good. And we're about to start getting into earnings season. Mm-hmm. They've been very impressive. And, you know, the economic data points, yeah, there's a few weak ones out there. There's a lot of strong ones out there. So this backdrop of, we got to go make hay.
Yeah.
The sun's shining.
Yeah.
And so there may be a few clouds that pass through, but this is the time, because it won't always be the time. Well, so anyway, I think we can be positive as we look out the windshield here.
Well, hey. We'll stay on it. You know, we're monitoring it, and we'll be here for you next month. Thanks for joining us.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.